Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening, Father.
And welcome to our presentation this year. I always appreciate your taking time to come. I know it's not easy on Sunday evening. There could be so many other things to do, and yet you are here. So I thank you very much and appreciate your presence. As I advertised in the newsletter, in the bulletins, it's coming from Ireland, I have to think twice before I say things, you know. Over there, you don't hear the word bulletin, you just hear newsletter, you know. So, as advertised in the bulletin, our bulletins of here at St. Jerome, the topic is imitating St. Joseph, or the virtues of St. Joseph, the spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary. One thing for us as Catholics, when we attend all these papers, all these talks, it doesn't mean we may not have known some of these things, but sometimes we hear them in a new light. And there might be just one thing that one could pick, and that helps to build us. So today I'm going to speak on St. Joseph, but I would like to thank the Adult Faith Formation for making this possible. I kind of just took it for granted that because of the transition here at St. Joseph, St. Michael's, that we're not going to have the talk and the retreat this year. In fact, I prepared that we're not going to have it. So in my mind, I was rejoicing that at least I'm going to have a break this year. Well, I heard from Margarita that, please, could you think of sending us some topics? And I wrote back to her and I said, you know, because of the transition here at St. Michael's, wouldn't it be nice for us to just skip this year? Gina said, okay, I will discuss with the Adult Faith Formation. So they went for their meeting and she emailed me back that we have met and AFF unanimously decided we should have everything. So it was then I knew I had lost. But she did it in a very nice way. I was saying yesterday at our presentation that the difference between Margarita and Ruth Stone, God rest her, was that Margarita would suggest what we should do, but Ruth Stone told me what I should do. So I really thank you for making it possible. And I would also thank Father Leo for so many years of service, a legend of St. Michael's. 35 years, and through him I came here, and Father Jim, and my regards to Father Dwight as he begins his ministry here at St. Michael's. It is not very often that we have a reflection on St. Joseph. We can actually say that St. Joseph is the forgotten one. Devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary from the very beginning had always been there. But the church over a period of time slowly is bringing up something on St. Joseph. Maybe trying to even discover St. Joseph a little bit more than we have all these years. So in this paper, we just say briefly the life of St. Joseph with emphasis on his obedience to the will of God. Then I will highlight devotion to St. Joseph and the church and how we can emulate the sterling virtues of St. Joseph. So St. Joseph in the scriptures. The much we know about St. Joseph in the scriptures comes to us from the early chapters of the Gospels of Matthew and Luke, chapters 1 and 2 of both Gospels. Not much is known of St. Joseph from extra-biblical literature. Joseph was not mentioned during the public life and ministry of Jesus, because he was believed to have died by that time. The scriptures clearly show that Joseph played a pivotal role in the infancy of Jesus and safely guarded and protected the baby Jesus and the Blessed Virgin Mary. Joseph was entrusted with the vocation to be the foster father of Jesus, and the contemporaries of Jesus regarded Joseph as the legal father of Jesus, though the Gospels make it abundantly clear that Joseph was conceived by the power of the, sorry, Jesus was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. In reflecting on St. Joseph, there's a central scripture passage that I need to fall back on. And I will analyze that very text as a way of emphasizing Joseph's obedience to the will of God. We have it, Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. Beverly will help us to read.
Okay. Now this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home. For it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took his wife into his home. He had no relations with her until she bore a son, and he named him Jesus.
Thank you very much for that, Beverly. This is a passage that reveals Joseph's obedience to God's will, just as the passage of the Annunciation in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38, reveals Mary's obedience to the will of God. This passage tells us that Mary was betrothed to Joseph. For the Jewish people, betrothal was a serious and formal engagement ceremony, which gave the engaged couple the legal rights of husband and wife. However, after the engagement ceremony, the couple did not live together and did not have sexual relations until after the public and the actual celebration of the marriage itself, what we call today the wedding. And that normally would take place within a year. It was only after the public wedding that the young woman would move to her husband's home. The betrothal was so strongly binding that it could only be formally broken through the process of divorce. The engaged couple were officially known as husband and wife, although they had no rights of husband and wife. And if a man died after the betrothal, the woman was referred to as a virgin who is a widow. Remember, they were betrothed or engaged, but they were not expected to have sexual relations. And that is why if the man happened to die, the lady would be referred to as a virgin who became a widow. The betrothal took place when the girl was about 13 years old. It was after the betrothal that Joseph discovered that Mary was pregnant. Unknown to Joseph was that Mary was pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit. Scripture calls Joseph a just man, an upright man, a righteous man. Joseph as a just man means that he was conscientious in the observance of the law. Hence, he would not want to have anything to do with a woman who supposedly committed adultery. You know, the engagement was so strong that you are regarded as husband and wife. So if you go out, it's called an adultery. Joseph, being an upright man, decided to divorce Mary quietly. As an upright man who followed the law, Joseph was required to expose Mary publicly as adulteress, who became pregnant after their engagement when he had no sexual relations with her. This was because conjugal infidelity on the part of the betrothed woman was regarded as adultery in the strict sense. Like every other part of the Old Testament, it was presumed that it was only the woman who could commit adultery. Nothing was said about the man after betrothal having relations. It was presumed that he could do that. And that is why both we see in the Old Testament and in some of the cultures, it was a very patriarchal culture. It was only the woman who was singled out. And even in the public ministry of Jesus, you saw the incident of the woman caught in adultery. They said, "We caught her in the very act of adultery." And yet, she was the only one brought forward. If she was caught in the very act, you would presume that they caught the man as well. But apparently, the man escaped through the window and so on. So it's presumed that it was the woman who would commit adultery. According to the Jewish law, Mary would have been punished by stoning, like any other Jewish woman who committed adultery, as prescribed in the law. However, Joseph chose to divorce Mary quietly. And this is the type of divorce that the reason was not given. This shows the goodness and the kindness of Joseph. He knew he had no relations with her, but he didn't want to expose her. He just wanted to divorce her quietly. Showed the good heart of Joseph. The next stage belonged to God. After Joseph had exhausted his options, it was now time for God to show Joseph that what divine providence can do. It was when Joseph was still pondering over this serious matter of divorcing Mary that the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and revealed to him that Mary conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and would give birth to a son who would save the world. For you and I today, because of the privilege of our faith, we easily believe Mary conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. Could you imagine how it was for probably Joseph, that the lady you just went and did the betrothal and the formal engagement, you are now being told that the Holy Spirit came and she's pregnant through the Holy Spirit? It's easier for you and I to believe today. And yet, that is why for Joseph to truly do what God told him would highlight his obedience to the will of God. The angel asked Joseph to take Mary as his wife, and Joseph obeyed God. As Beverly read not too long ago, when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord told him to do. He took his wife home. This means Joseph completed the public wedding ceremony and took Mary home as his wife. So that before people could notice that Mary was pregnant, she was already in the home of Joseph. So in a way, Joseph took her and protected her so that nobody could suspect anything. This underscores Joseph's obedience to God's will. Joseph was a faithful man, a man of great humility too. Saint Joseph received Mary with Jesus in her womb into his home. He facilitated the coming of Jesus into the world and into our lives as our Savior. Saint Joseph is a model of openness and trust in God. Saint Joseph played a pivotal role in the coming of Christ into the world. He cared for Mary during her pregnancy and helped to bring Christ into the world by being there for Mary. Christmas time, when we hear the story of how Jesus was born, how they have to move with camel, a journey all the way from Nazareth to Jerusalem or to the south, a journey of 146 kilometers. That should be how many miles now? Let's say 95 or thereabout miles by road, not by walking. But he was there. He did all of this. So like the Blessed Virgin Mary, Saint Joseph occupies a preeminent position in our salvation history. He responded positively to God's will. And Saint Joseph is second in holiness and dignity only to the Blessed Virgin Mary. So I'll move on to Joseph as the guardian and the protector of Jesus and Mary. Joseph responded faithfully to God's communication by an angel through dreams. He always did what God asked him to do. He did not complain. He was there for Mary and Jesus. For example, Joseph took Mary and the child Jesus and escaped Herod's plan to kill Jesus by fleeing to Egypt. And when the angel of the Lord told him to come back, he came back. Yesterday at our retreat, doing the God's will came out so prominently in our reflection yesterday. And now you can see how it is not easy to always embrace God's will. Sometimes it goes contrary to every fiber of what you think, how things should be in the case of Joseph. And yet, he obeyed. He followed God's will. The same should be for us today. Sometimes it will be difficult, but if we obey, and like Joseph and Mary, we will be fine. This is the point I'm going to make later on, but let me say it here, that Joseph did not utter a word in the scriptures. Not a word. But his actions spoke volumes. He was always present at the background, protecting Mary and Joseph and Jesus. When Jesus, as a boy, was found in the temple after he had been missing for 3 days, it was Mary who spoke and not Joseph. Mary said to Jesus, "My child, why have you done this to us? See how worried your father and I have been looking for you." You would expect the father to be the one to speak. But he didn't speak. But that also happens in some families. You know, the woman will do more of the speaking. You know. So we should bear in mind that the Jewish culture of that time was a patriarchal culture. Yet Joseph was content to be at the background, supporting Mary and protecting her. Thus, married men should learn from the humility and simplicity of Saint Joseph by being there for their wives and supporting them, even if it means being in the background. The men should say amen to that. I didn't find much excitement on that, so. Devotion to Saint Joseph, the spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary. As I said earlier, Joseph occupies a preeminent position in our salvation history. He responded positively to God's will to become the legal father of Jesus. In his description of Saint Joseph, Pope Leo XIII noted on August 15, 1889, and this date just captured my attention, August 15th. You all know what we celebrate on August 15th.
The Assumption.
And yet on this day, Pope Leo XIII spoke about Saint Joseph. And he said, "There arise all his dignity, grace, lowliness, and glory. Since the bond of marriage existed between Joseph and the Blessed Virgin, there can be no doubt that more than any other person, he approached that supereminent dignity by which the Mother of God is raised far above all creatures." So as I said, devotion to Saint Joseph evolved very slowly and is still going on even in our own time. But that of the Blessed Mother, there was no doubt at all. Right from the outset, there was devotion. But the church slowly was awakening to the fact that maybe we need to speak a little bit more about Saint Joseph too. so that people can also learn from his virtues and the role he played in God's plan of salvation. And because of that, St. Joseph is invoked in the litany of St. Joseph as a patron saint of workmen, families, virgins, the sick, and the dying. In recent times in the church, St. Joseph, because he was a carpenter and artisan, has been popularly designated as the patron saint of real estate, whose intercession is widely sought in the setting of houses. So, all these realtors and those in charge of buildings, construction, and all that, St. Joseph is your man. In 1870, Pope Pius XI declared St. Joseph as the patron saint of the Universal Church. St. Joseph is also specifically honored on May 1 as the patron saint of all workers. So if you check all these, they are very recent. In the life of the church, 1870 is not a long time ago. It was only in 1870, after almost 1900 years, that the Pope declared St. Joseph as the patron saint of the Universal Church. Because the church is slowly awakening to this realization that perhaps we need to speak a little about St. Joseph. And just a few years ago, the church mandated that St. Joseph's name be inserted in all the Eucharistic prayers of the church. So now, when we go to Mass, we hear the priest say, "Have mercy on us, we pray, that with the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with Blessed Joseph has passed." That just came in a few years ago. Augustine, how many years? Three, 4 years?
Four years
about. So this is happening even in our own time. The church is still seeing something to bring up to honor St. Joseph. That now every single Mass celebrated, immediately after the Blessed Virgin Mary, his name is inserted. The big book we use for Mass, known as the Roman Missal or the Sacramentary, it is not there yet because they were printed before this came. So I saw that Father Jim has a little note, maybe so that I wouldn't forget on it. Some priests just used their hand to write it. It's very recent, just 4 years ago. Just to give you and I tell you that the church is still evolving in devotion to St. Joseph. Now I'm going to come to the second part of my presentation, imitating the virtues of St. Joseph. The sterling virtues and qualities of St. Joseph are worth imitating by all Christians. As indicated earlier, St. Joseph's obedience to God's will in all circumstances clearly stands out in his life. Essentially, St. Joseph is like the Blessed Virgin Mary, who is a model of saying yes to God. He always did what God told him to do. Both Mary and Joseph are models of obedience to God's will. And one of the ways of growing spiritually as a Christian is by yielding our wills to the will of God. Spiritual renewal enables us to conform more and more to the will of God. And St. Joseph is a shining example of conforming to God's will. Like St. Joseph, we should always strive to embrace God's will in our lives. Yesterday, and I'm going to link it to what I said yesterday, that we should pray constantly and never lose heart. But how do we apply this to God's will? That at the end of our prayers, we should remember to always say, "Lord, let your will be done." And many of us shared yesterday, you know, of how you really pray for something. I mean, I can say it. We all prayed for the King Gary to be well. We prayed for a miracle. But it didn't happen. You know, does it mean our prayers were not answered? And at some point, we learn to accept because God knows best. So St. Joseph didn't know many of these things happening. You can imagine the state he was. He didn't know the future at all, but he accepted and he followed. And that was what the Blessed Virgin Mary did. So we should emulate St. Joseph in that regard, so that when we have our own struggles, we should always remember that St. Joseph didn't have the whole picture. and yet he obeyed God's will. And we too should do the same. Again, it is not easy. But when we pray, we should pray, Lord, let your will be done. There is no place I have spoken on this, and it is easy, either for myself or for those of you listening to me. And I said yesterday, I told them a story yesterday that in Nigeria, when I spoke about this will of God, how we should learn to say, Lord, let your will be done, a woman raised her hand and told me that, oh, Father, I like what you said, that I normally pray like that. When I pray, I say, Lord, especially when you're asking for favor from God, say, Lord, let your will be done. But I still want you to grant me what I have asked from you, you know. And I told the woman, it can't be that. It should be the other way around. That you tell God, this is what I want. But she will start with, Lord, let your will be done. But I still want you to grant me this favor. I say, you can't pray like that. So sometimes we are like that woman. Both St. Joseph and our Blessed Mother, I think I'm going ahead of the paper, did not fully understand everything God was asking them to do, yet they submitted to God's will. As I said earlier, St. Joseph did not speak in the scriptures, but his actions spoke volumes, particularly with regard to the will of God. St. Joseph, like our Blessed Mother, or like St. Joseph, we should always entrust ourselves to God's will. Things might become clearer later on in the future. God sees the future, we don't. But you can always agree with me that whenever we look back, sometimes that's when we understand some of the things in the past. In the heat of the moment, we don't always get it. But sometimes when we look back, say, And it's the same thing with the scriptures. When Jesus spoke to the apostles, there were many things they didn't understand. But later on, they said, oh, he told us. They looked back, okay, this was what he meant. But you know, we live in a very quick age today, and we want instant result. So that patience oftentimes is not there. St. Paul says in 2 Timothy, I know in whom I have placed my trust. So like St. Joseph, we should keep on doing the will of God in all the circumstances of our lives. So that is really the major way to imitate St. Joseph. Other ways by which we can imitate St. Joseph. St. Joseph gave a home to Mary and Joseph. And Jesus, sorry. If not for St. Joseph, Mary would have been subjected to ridicule and shame as an unwed mother. Despite his initial struggle and resistance, St. Joseph opened his heart and home to receive both Mary and the baby in her womb. In the eyes of the people, as I said earlier, St. Joseph was the real father of Jesus. So it is worth asking ourselves now, individually. And I have a long list of questions here. Can I open the door of my heart and home today to another person? Can I become a foster parent to a child today? Can I adopt one child today so that that child can have a home? Can I use my God-given resources to give education to an indigent child? Can I offer guardian and protection to a child today? Can I make a difference in the life of an indigent, unwed mother? Can I open my home to receive an unwed pregnant teenage mother, because Mary was a teenager? Or do I show a holier-than-thou attitude towards unwed pregnant mothers? Am I judgmental of unwed mothers? Am I ready to accept if God should call me today to be like Saint Joseph? Am I ready to accept? Or I have made up my mind? These are some questions I want us to ponder on, my dear brothers and sisters. Evidently, these are serious questions worth pondering, but they are also at the heart of the Christian life. How easy sometimes we judge unwed mothers. Do you know that Mary would have been an unwed mother if not for Joseph? We open our hearts today, and so on and so on. Another virtue I want us to emulate from St. Joseph is the silence of St. Joseph. I mentioned that earlier. That Joseph did not utter a word in the scripture, but he was always there. He was the head of the household of the Holy Family, and yet not a word of his was recorded in the scripture. His wife Mary was the outspoken one. But Joseph was always there to support her. So humanly speaking, one might say that Joseph's role was secondary, while his wife Mary was the prominent and exalted one. But Joseph showed that rare strength of character in a patriarchal culture by always supporting his wife. Joseph was silent and yet very strong and active. Perhaps we should realize that we do not always have to speak. We should strive to emulate silence in prayer. We should then also endeavor to embrace silence and restraint despite the urge to speak. There are moments in life when our presence speaks volume more than words. For example, one of the best ways to condole with those who grieve and who mourn the death of their loved ones is by our presence and silence. Our presence speaks volume more than words. Silence and comforting presence should be preferred to the tendency to preach to those who are bereaved. We don't need to preach, but we need to be present. People tell me that, but I need to say something. I say, but that is exactly what I'm trying to say. You don't have to say something. Don't say anything. Just go down, stay. And we are very uncomfortable with silence. We don't have to speak. That is the point I'm making. Many people feel that they must say something and they must preach. We don't have to. And for those of us who like to talk very much, we should ask for the intercession of St. Joseph for the grace to be silent when necessary. And because we talk too much, or we like to talk a lot, even in our prayers, we are constantly talking, that there is no room for listening. So St. Joseph teaches us the value of silence. So he's a saint to intercede for us. Whenever we are talking too much, we should remember St. Joseph. Other sterling virtues of St. Joseph include his fidelity. He always believed whatever God told him to do. His uprightness, humility. In a very patriarchal culture, he was very, very humble to be at the background. Simplicity, honesty, and trust in God. All these virtues are worth emulating by all Christians. In conclusion, good news is coming to an end. Undoubtedly, St. Joseph is a great source of inspiration for all Christians. And I'm glad we're able to reflect briefly on him today. Every year, I don't know how these topics will come out. I have no idea what will happen next year. But somehow, God always, through divine providence, will always bring us something that we can share. Saint Joseph accepted the role God assigned to him in God's plan of salvation. One can say that Saint Joseph's vocation was a silent and a quiet one. It was a vocation that he was not to be noticed. And I don't think many of us would like to embrace that kind of vocation. Who would like to be at the forefront? He was not visible, but more of a behind-the-scene man. However, he became great by accepting and doing what God wanted of him. Thus, it is fitting that the church honors Saint Joseph with a solemnity. Solemnity is the highest rank of the celebration of a feast in the church. Solemnity has equal rank as Sunday. So on March 19th, the church celebrates the solemnity of Saint Joseph, the spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And then on May 1, Saint Joseph the Worker. So let us join the Universal Church in both honoring Saint Joseph and imitating his virtues. And all of them I have outlined. And the one that you shouldn't forget today is that virtue of silence. So may this upright man, the foster father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the spouse of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Saint Joseph, intercede for us, both now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening, and God bless you.